Are you interested in the current state of the health industry? Want to know more about nutrition, natural medicine, holistic healthcare, and more? You're in the right place. Welcome to Nutrition Prescription with your host, integrative health and nutrition coach, Angela Atkins. She dishes the dirt on a bunch of health topics with a social consciousness flair. Here's Angela.
Welcome to Nutrition Prescription. This is Angela Atkins of Your Health Unbound. I want to welcome you this week to our podcast. We have a great speaker on hand. We have Stephanie McKeith. And let me give you a little background on Stephanie. With the loss of Stephanie's father, her passion was fueled to spread the truth and myth about cancer and what it really is, what fights it, what fuels it, and what she does. She leads her business with holistic fitness, nutrition, supplements, and detox methods that clear the mind and body from cancer-causing toxicities, saying prevention is your best cure. I want to welcome Stephanie and talk about today's topic, which is living holistically healthy and cancer-free. She's going to talk about holistic fitness and being a detox trainer. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thanks for having me, Angela. I appreciate your time and the opportunity.
Great to have you here. I want to hear more about what you call mastering your mindset.
So when you first start, when somebody decides, I want to be healthy, I want to lead a healthy life, I want to change what I've been doing, and I want to make sure I'm preventing disease, I want to start exercising, I want to overhaul my nutrition. The first thing we have to take a look at is why. Why do you want to do that? What's your driving force? What in your mind has decided that this is going to be your new lifestyle? Because the way I see it and the way I train my clients is this is a lifestyle. I don't do bikini boot camps. I don't do body competition training and sessions like that. They're great, and they're for some people, and that's a great practice to routinely alternate into a training regimen. But for the rest of the year, all of the other days, even during the holiday seasons, you have to have some type of consistency. So what I like to focus on is instead of a mindset, but a mind style. So when you have a mindset, the way I see the word set is you're stuck. You've decided where it's going to be. You're set in that way. You've decided that's where you're going to be.
That's an interesting concept because most people use the term mindset.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but to me, set means you're there. You've decided and you've committed to that, and change is going to be very difficult if it's ever presented to you or if you ever think about examining that route, right?
I agree.
Yeah, so I like to go with mind style. Mind style, your style can change, right? You can, you know, there might be something new that comes up. We might get new scientific evidence on a certain way of eating or a certain modality to fitness or detox. And it's good to roll with that. It's good to find out from the experts that there's new science that has emerged or even evidence-based science. To incorporate that into your routine. So having that style, a mind style that allows you the freedom to change things up where they might be needed is what I like to focus on. So we really get down to the why.
So it sounds like mind style is leave your mind open to being flexible.
Sure, sure.
Change as change is needed.
Right, yeah. I don't want anybody to ever feel like if they don't do something 100% or if they don't follow the plan that we have, then it's just ruined or they have to start over or it's not going to work for them. We don't want to get into that realm of thinking either. So with the style, we've got room for flexibility. We have room to change things. If it doesn't work for you, that's okay. It's not set. We'll switch it up. We'll find something that does work for you, that makes you happy, that you enjoy doing, and that will incorporate into your protocol. So that's where I like to lead with that. A style can be adjusted, and we have plenty of room for adjustments.
I like that concept. That's a very new concept for me, and I may steal it from you because I think it's great. I'll give you credit for it, but I really like the way you've delineated how set means you're kind of stuck in it, mm-hmm. but style can change over time. I like that very much.
Yeah, I got so many times I had heard, can we start on Monday? Or, oh, I can't, you know what? I really like the way my eating plan's been working out, but I'm going to parties this weekend to celebrate this party or that celebration. So I'll start back on Monday. That's a set. That's a mindset. There's set that it's either this or it's that.
Right.
The style, you've got some give. So you go to the party, you enjoy things that you normally wouldn't or know you shouldn't or aren't going to provide benefits to you, but then you move on and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just recover and you bounce back. You don't wait for Monday to come around.
Yeah, I always say to my clients when I say, oh, but the holidays are coming. And I said, yes, I want you to enjoy them. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't deprive. The one thing I preach is if you deprive yourself, you're doomed for failure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Never deprive yourself. You just find alternate ways of doing things. You don't have to indulge in great amounts of things. You just have to learn how it works for you. What's the best way for you to enjoy it?
Yeah, agreed. Yep.
That's great. So I really want to get into talking about how you think your thoughts about cancer. And 1 in 2 Americans by 2020 will be diagnosed with cancer. That is like an amazing statistic that you've provided me. I'm just like amazed at that. It's so close. I mean, really, it's only 4 years away, less than 4 now, 3 years away. So you're questioning, are you fighting or fueling it? So what are your thoughts on that? How are you telling people how to fight it rather than fuel it?
So here's the thing. We've been in this war on cancer, right, ever since Nixon declared our war on cancer. And we've dumped so many hardworking funds into finding new drugs and new cures for cancer, which has only led us to an even more staggering statistic of, like you said, 1 in 2 Americans by the year 2020, which is 3 years, and that's just a statistic. That's only what's been reported.
Right.
So 1 in 2, that's half the population. That's me or you or somebody else who might be listening.
Right. If there's 2 people in the room, the likelihood one of them is going to have cancer by 2020 is staggering.
Yeah. So it leads you to the question, which everybody needs to question. If it's 1 in 2, what are you doing to prevent that? Are you doing anything to prevent it? Do you know what prevents it? Do you know what the things that you have control over every single day from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed? And even while you're sleeping, there's things that can be done or prepped to be done before you go to bed. But there's so many things that we have control over that, in my opinion, just isn't mainstream enough.
Well, can you provide us with some examples, you know, give us, you know, 3 or 5 things we can do today that will make a difference and reduce our risk of cancer?
Sure. So the first thing I start with is the mind style. You have to be in the right frame of mind to decide that this is something you want to work at. Living a cancer-free lifestyle or working at, and it's the same thing as reversing diabetes or preventing obesity. It's all the same thing. An anti-cancer lifestyle is also an anti-diabetes lifestyle. It's an anti-Alzheimer's lifestyle. It's an anti-obesity lifestyle. It's just a healthy lifestyle.
I agree.
Yeah. So one of the things you can do is decide that this is what you're going to do. You're going to put some effort into it. You're going to put effort into your nutrition. Is what you're putting into your body fueling your body? Is it fueling cancer? Is it fighting cancer? Are you eating dead food? Are you eating living food? Your exercise, do you have exercise? Do you participate in some type of, it doesn't have to mean going to the gym for an hour. And I'm a trainer. To be honest with you, I get clients that'll come in and they've decided that that's it. They're sick of being where they're at. They want to change their lifestyle. They want to lose weight and they're ready to do it now. But that's all they're focused on. They think exercise is that one thing that's going to take them to this new world that they're looking to get into. And it's not the only key.
So go back to what you just said. You said a really important thing that I think needs to be clarified for some people. You said, are you eating dead food or are you eating live food? Can you explain that so it's clear to people?
So dud food would be anything that's processed or man-made. Are you on the go? And I'm a mom, I have three kids. We're on the go a lot. I'm a business owner. My husband's a business owner. All of my kids are active and we travel a lot. We're on the move. So it would be really convenient to grab prepackaged foods, snacks, and throw them in a bag and head out the door. But that does not provide, and crackers and processed foods is not going to provide my children, myself, my husband, with nutrition, with fuel. You can't, when you're digesting dead foods, you're taking your body to a level of having to fight for its health instead of providing health. Living foods would be things that grow. They're living. You have apples, you have broccoli, you have things that grow from the earth. They're alive. They're living. They have energy. They have grown from light. They provide you with nutrition and fuel. You can absorb them. You can grow from them. You can be productive with them.
Are you also including like animal proteins in that as living?
Personally, I'm a vegetarian. I have been for 23 years, but my family is not. So I am all for what works best for you. If you want to eat animal meat, then go for it. I think it has its place and it's very, it's a very important part of diet, especially if it has a significant importance to you. So I'm not against it. I don't promote a vegetarian diet and I don't promote a meat eating diet. Somebody who has cancer, especially, you have to look at that individual person and see what they have going on as an individual and what's working for them. In that instance, we might need to pull meat out. But generally speaking, from a preventative aspect, whatever's working for you.
See, I know for myself, I went about 50 years eating pretty poorly, and it really took a toll on my health. And once I learned about nutrition and began down that path, I discovered my body rejected a lot of food. I have a lot of food allergies. There's about 20 different foods that I just can't eat because my body has a reaction to it. And because of that, I don't get enough nutrients without an animal protein. So I've resolved that it's just one of those things. It's not a moral decision one way or the other. It is a health decision for me. And so when I work with clients, we determine what's best for them. And if they think meat is good for them, then we go forward. And if it's not, we go forward with that. I don't prescribe any kind of particular diet either. And I think you're right. It has to come to the individual. And I think that's where so many people fall down on. They don't understand, what do I eat? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a learning process. So many people have been eating so poorly, they don't know what to eat now. So I think it's true. You have to really look at what is living food and what does that mean for you?
Yeah. Yeah. And to kind of expand on that too, what I was getting into is when I have somebody initially come to me and they want to start a fitness, because I'm a holistic fitness trainer, they want to start a new fitness routine. We have to take a look at why do you want to start this now at your point in life that you're in now? What is your driving force? What is your why to do this? And after we get into that, I'll tell you, it's probably 5 or 6 times out of 10, that client of mine is not even ready to incorporate exercise into their lifestyle. Because if they do at that point in time, not having a proper mind style, it's not going to be sustainable. They're going to get into a 6-week slump. And then after that 6 weeks, they'll brush their hands off and they'll be done and I won't see them again.
Right. That's what I always say. You don't want to be the weekend warrior, because what happens is you'll start it and then you'll stop. It's not something you love. It's not something that you've assimilated into your mind style, as you say, to be sustainable for the long term.
Yeah. And if you're eating out of a bag, you're not going to feel good enough. Now you've placed this extra energy demand on your body that you're not giving proper fuel to. And it just creates a hassle. And I don't ever want exercise, which is, it's used as a healing modality. It's part of life. Humans are meant to move. And if you don't move, then you're in big trouble. So if I put somebody in a position where they have everything around them pointing in an opposite direction, incorporating exercise at that very moment in their life is not a good idea. So as a trainer, I mean, it puts me in a different category, I guess, because I have to tell people a lot. I understand you came to me for some training and you want an exercise program, but you're not ready.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that because to me, that speaks of the integrity of your work. I mean, you're not going to put somebody into something they're not ready for simply to have a client to, you know, increase revenue. This is all about health. Mm-hmm. That's where, you know, most health coaches and trainers come from a place of service for other people. So you can really tell when that's true, when they say, you're not ready for what you want, so I'm not going to give it to you. And you try to focus them on what they need. That's really good.
Yeah. Also with my main focus is the disease prevention. So from that perspective, from an anti-cancer perspective, it's not just one facet. It's multifaceted. Having holistic health is just multifaceted any way you look at it. You have to touch on your nutrition, your exercise, your emotions. Emotions are another big component. If you don't have a healthy relationship in the way you think about yourself, in your self-esteem, in the way you believe others think about you, in the relationships that you have with other people, they're going to be ill all around. Mm-hmm. So we also work on that as part of the exercise programs that I put together for people. So it's more of when I call myself a holistic trainer, that's because holism incorporates everything. And then we get into detox and mind and body. And then I focus on sleep too, because if you don't have proper sleep.
Oh, sleep is so important.
Nothing. I mean, then exercise is going to actually be more taxing on you than not.
I agree. So your idea of living holistically is going to incorporate all these various modalities, the physical, the emotional, everything, your exercise, your sleeping. So what options and what do you do to practice what you call health freedoms?
So health freedoms really weigh heavy. I try as best I can to educate and to give, to not just always be throwing words out there, but to give resources for people to do their own research. For we have the freedom to be as healthy as we want to. We have that health freedom, and it's up to us to exercise it. It's up to each one of us as an individual to take that freedom and to find the information, to understand the information, and to implement the information. So a lot of times you're overwhelmed with that kind of information. So to have a source that you can go to sort, help you sort through, is what I like to consider myself sometimes. So if somebody may, you know, they might know my main focus is an anti-cancer lifestyle, but if they might have a child with autism or a parent with diabetes or anything like that, I like to have different resources. I like to be connected with different resources that I can lead them into so that they are best served for what they're looking to do as far as their health goes. And that's a health freedom. That is empowering to know that you have the opportunity to make your own decision. You don't have to go to the doctor and have the doctor write you a prescription and do everything on that prescription. You have the freedom to do what you feel is best for you, to find what is best for you and to actually implement it into your lifestyle.
Yeah, that's what I term is in my practice with my clients. I say that I help them become their own health advocate.
Yeah.
They learn for themselves because they know their bodies better than anyone. They know it better than the doctor. You know, they're living that life. And so if they advocate for what they want and they want a natural solution rather than a medication or something invasive, then they need to speak up for it. They need to become, like you say, empowered with the information, educate themselves, and then educate their practitioner saying, that's not the choice that I want. This is the choice that I want. And if that practitioner can't offer it to them, then I always say, find another one. There's always somebody out there who's going to help you in a more natural way than prescribing medications or some, as I say, something more invasive. Because if you go to a medical doctor, they're trained to offer medicines. If you go to a surgical doctor, their solution is usually surgery. So you need to find someone, a naturopath, is to offer natural methods, or someone who teaches holistic health options. You need to find what you want. So that's why I say being your own health advocate is really important. And I think that's it relates to your health freedoms. You find what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to remember, or to remind people that, you know, they'll say, well, my doctor said, or this is what my doctor suggests, but I don't really feel comfortable. It doesn't make that much sense to me. And I have to remind them that your doctor practices medicine. Your body is not deficient in any one of those drugs that they may prescribe to you.
Exactly.
You are, however, deficient in vitamins and minerals and nutrients. So you need to be working with somebody who can help you with those deficiencies so that what we're doing works optimally for you.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that's true. So what are other ways that you help people to stay motivated and empowered and aware of what their choices are?
One of my signature things that I provide is a health tracker. And on my health tracker, I include just a little space for their to log their food. So we'll have a breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. I'm not so focused on what they're eating at this point in time, but how they feel after they've eaten. Do you feel guilt? Do you feel satisfied? Do you feel full? Are you bloated? Do you have indigestion? Do you have regret? That allows us to take a look at what you're emotionally connected to as far as food goes, because there's also that psychological connection that we have to food, that even though something might be good for you nutritionally, if emotionally it's disturbing to you, we might need to take a step back from that for a while. So in the health tracker, that's something that we have listed on there. I also talk about bowel movements. We talk about poop, we do. And it's something that is an open window into what your health looks like. And if there's no poop to talk about, we have a really big problem.
Yeah, I mean, people, bathroom habits seem to be still taboo, but they really are an indicator of what's going on in your body. And people will say, oh, you know, today I was feeling this way, things changed. And yeah, well, that's really important. We need to know that, you know, were they for the better, were they for the worse? You know, because if you're eating what's working for you, you're going to feel like your bathroom habits are so much easier and it's not complicated anymore. But people do have a little bit of trouble. And once you get started, though, people realize just talking about them makes them realize how normal it is. It's a normal function.
Yeah, you can relax. You can feel good about it.
And we laugh, but I think we do that because we know how socially unacceptable it still is to talk about poop. But honest to God, if we don't start talking about it as health coaches, it's not going to get people thinking about this is another way of telling if you're healthy or not.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like to give them this health tracker. So not only do they have to write about it, they've got to look at it, and then we've got to talk about it. We've got to see, is it happening regularly? Is it not? So that's another part. And then we talk about, I want them to log their sleep. From what time did you go to sleep and what time did you wake up? Was it restful? Was it a hassle? Did you wake up during the night? Was it broken? Were you refreshed? That's a big portion of holistic health too. So that's on there. We talk about exercise. What did you do? How long did you do it? I'm not a big fan of 60-minute workouts, working out twice a day. I'm totally against, unless you're doing something, you know, unless you're training for a marathon or something, but that's in a category of its own.
Right. And athlete training is completely different from the average person. And I think we need to take that image that we have, that's the ideal, that, you know, that it's not the ideal. That is a different lifestyle. You know, the average lifestyle doesn't fit in the athlete category of athlete.
No, you are right. And I like to bring that up more often than not so that people understand, because it's always something that's in the back of their minds, is that they feel that if they're not working out for 60 minutes, then they're just not, why do it? It's not, I don't have an hour a day, so why do it? It's not worth it. So I like to bring that up often as a reminder that it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be two a day. It doesn't have to be an hour. I train my clients for 30 minutes a day. I have a rebounding studio. We focus on state trampolines. So 30 minutes, and we end each session with a stress management portion. We go 5 to 8 minutes. I have them, I turn the lights out. We lay back in a comfortable position and I walk them through a guided meditation.
Oh, nice.
And stress management is a big, huge part of holistic living. It's a very big component to living a holistically healthy lifestyle. But if you just tell somebody you should meditate, you should try it 5 to 10 minutes a day. So then they sit down and then their mind goes here and there and over
there. It's really more difficult to do than just saying, go do it. Yeah. So having a guided meditation is very helpful.
Yeah. What does meditation even mean at that point to them? They don't know. And so they're either going to sit down and try to do it and become frustrated. They're going to start Googling and get lost in Googling. And then now an hour is gone and they never even meditated, or they're just going to become frustrated.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. It's going to lead to frustration, which means like exercising, I mean, it'll just go by the wayside, because if you're frustrated by it, you feel defeated, and you, why bother?
Yeah. Now I don't have time. Now look how much time I just wasted and it didn't do anything. And now I'm more stressed than when I started.
Right.
So I leave each session. Nobody leaves my sessions, my training sessions, until we do 5 to 8 minutes of guided meditation. So after so many times, they've got a feel. We've walked through it. We've done it. They know how it makes them feel to leave after they've done it. They know that feeling.
Yeah.
So
it's repeatable then.
It's repeatable. Yeah. The repetition allows them to go home and lay down and remember the words that I've used and the feelings that they've had so that they can keep that momentum going. And then the last thing that I put on my health tracker is gratitude. There's three things before I want my clients to get to do before they even get out of bed. And that's think of three things they're grateful for. I'm not talking about go into deep thought about how in depth you should be grateful for, but if it's the sun that's shining through your window on a cold December day, then that's great. Think of that. Focus on that. If it's that you hear your kids laughing and running and playing on a Saturday morning, that's something to be grateful for. If it's that you can swing your legs on the side of the bed and stand up and walk out, that's another thing to be grateful for. Three quick things before you raise up out of bed and get on with your day. It will completely change the way the rest of your day goes if you start your day with gratitude. So on their health tracker, that's another thing they have to start their day with. And I want it logged. I want them to see what they're grateful for. So after they've got a week or 2 weeks worth of these health trackers, they can see a shift and where they've had a shift. So, and then after we talk about your gratitude for the day, I also want reflection. So that's the beginning of the day. And now before you go to bed, your next thing is reflection. How did your day go? What made your day great? If it could have been better if I would have what? If I would have not been short-tempered with my kids, if I would have held the door for that guy who looked like he had his arms full at the grocery store. Just something little. It doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to go way down deep, just something little. My day could have been better if, so that allows you to reflect back on your day and all of the things. My day could have been better if I didn't eat that fifth chocolate chip cookie. You know, it's just one of those things.
It's like a lesson learned of the day.
A lifestyle lesson to see where you're at and to kind of take note, because again, we're not doing this 6 week bikini boot camp thing. This is lifestyle. You have to create daily habits that you can work on every single day, not just today, but when you're 80 and for the rest of your life.
I agree with you 100%. Before we wrap up, I want to make everyone aware that you're offering an all natural supplement bundle and access to your group, the Warriors Tribe online, for ongoing support and information about that. You want to give a little information about what that entails before I detail the offer?
Yeah, so we have, I work with holistic and natural practitioners all over the world, and we have a bundle with an herbal, it's an all-natural herbal supplement line. And so with our offer, we have an all-natural herbal supplement bundle that we're offering. And with that, you get the support of the Wellness Warriors online tribe. So the biggest, one of the biggest parts of starting your new healthy lifestyle is having the support and being able to ask questions and connect with people that are going through the same thing that you're doing. We have an online group that will allow you to check in every single day on what you've been eating, how you've been exercising, how you're feeling, if you're stuck, do you need recipe ideas? And we go through our day to day, every day together, so that you can feel connected and empowered and inspired by other people doing the same thing, just trying to make it through their day just like you are. And having that accountability means the world of difference. That means starting on Monday or continuing today, even though you have a celebration to go to or you've got parties here and there. So with this bundle, you also get the support of a community to connect with that's doing the same thing you're doing.
That's excellent. I just want to let everybody know it's regularly priced at $175, but the podcast special price will be $110. If you want to take advantage of this offer, just click the link that'll be below this podcast, and it'll take you right to the offer at the special price. I also understand you're going to give a freebie to our listeners. Your health tracker and a 10-day guide to living a cancer-free life. And how will they get that?
If you email us at info@riverviewhealthandfitness.com, riverviewhealthandfitness.com. Sorry, I know it's long.
I'll put that below the podcast also, so you can just click on it.
Yeah, that's great. So just send us your email address. We will email those freebies out to you, and feel free to stay connected. If you need help sorting through them, we will. And if I can add one more piece of advice, don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for any of it. Collect words from people that you trust and that you feel connected to, and do your own research. Don't just do what one person says, but find people that you connect with and that you understand what they're saying.
And what feels right for you.
And what would that. Yeah. Yep.
Well, Stephanie, thank you very much for coming today and joining me on this podcast. I really appreciate it. We'll put all the links below the podcast so people can get in contact with you and get your special offer for them too. So I'm going to say goodbye today, and thank you very much for joining us here on Nutrition Prescription.
Thanks, Angela.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Nutrition Prescription with your host, Angela Atkins. Find her online at yourhealthunbound.com, Twitter at Angela C. Atkins, and Facebook.com/AngelaAtkinsHNCoach. We'll see you next time.